I'm Banshee Henius from the Nuhulk Nation in Bellacoola in so-called British Columbia. We're located on the central west coast. So if you go to the bottom of Hohaticaway and the top of Vancouver Island, right in the middle, over on the mainland is where we're in a, you go up an inlet. We're there. 12-hour drive north of Vancouver, northwest of Vancouver, or a one-hour plane ride.
And you're with the radio station?
I run Nuhulk Radio.
Can you say what that is? Tell us about it.
Nuhulk Radio is a small, low-powered community radio station with a license exemption as a native exempt station, exempt from a license for CRTC.
Your station is available online, so anyone can tune in.
Yeah, nuhulkradio.com, which is N-U-X-A-L-K radio.com, or 91.1 FM in Nuhulk territory or Bellacoola.
And what are some highlights that people could know about the radio station?
Well, we started the radio station during the Idle No More resistance movement because we were talking about what does Idle No More mean to the Nuhulk people, because Idle No More was in response to Canada's policies, and we consider ourselves a sovereign nation, and what does that mean? What's important to us? And so we started talking about the Nuhulk language and raising up our ancestral government and how can we do that in a good way. So we started talking about radio and wanting to start a pirate station or just any way to get our language heard more in our community. Because at the time, I think we had about 12 speakers remaining. Now we have only about 5 Nuhulk language speakers, elder speakers that we can work with. That's why we started the radio, mainly because of the language. But also our mission is to promote our nationhood and promote stewardship of our homelands, provide programming that's spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally uplifting. We only share news that's positive news or constructive news, because there's enough English language media out there that's, and news that's so negative and sad and depressing. We don't want to be a part of that. Our people see that every day. We want to be somewhere where we're not triggering people, you know, in a negative way.
You're saying it started in Idle No More.
Yeah.
So it's been going about 5 years.
Yeah, our station started summer solstice, or Siumpt, June 21st, 2014. So we're coming up to, it would be just under a week. It'll be our 3 years.
So how is it going in 3 years?
A huge learning experience. I would say Nuhulk people are fairly shy. And when we started the station, we thought everyone would want to be doing shows and coming on air. But it was challenging at first. Now people are more interested, and we're getting more involvement and utilizing the station a lot more, and we're just getting better every day.
How many people would you say are involved in doing things with the station?
With the station? We have about 4 regular guys who do daily shows, and then we have altogether maybe 10 people, including volunteers and things like that.
And yeah. You pick up stuff from elsewhere, like Ryan was saying you picked up the Red Man Laughing?
Yeah. We take syndicated shows or podcasts or other shows throughout the world, really. And one of them is Red Man Laughing from Ryan McMahon's Indiana Cowboy. And we're also wanting to acquire a few more of his podcasts because they're pretty awesome. But we play shows from Australia, like the Cori Radio, an Indigenous station in Australia, has the Indige Hip Hop Show, which we play. We play Indigenous Waves at a CIUT in Toronto. Any type of kind of cool, interesting Indigenous show or a show having to do with helping our community heal is something that we're looking for. We also want comedy. We need more comedy.
How big is your community?
We have a Norwegian population in our, like a Norwegian settlement, so it's a mixed community. On reserve, I'm not quite sure exactly how many, maybe 1,000 or something.
So you came to Ottawa for the future of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis broadcasting convergence here. And it's just finished. You gave a talk, and also you participated in the conversations. So what would you like to say about that?
It was challenging for me to be a part of the conference in the first place, just because for us, considering ourselves a sovereign nation, this conference is about the CRTC and about regulations to Native broadcasters and things like that. And we are kind of the mind that we want to do what we want to do. Like, why should we answer to Canadian anything? So for me to come here was basically being a part of the consultation process in a way.
It's not run by the CRTC.
But it's still completely about the CRTC.
Well, do you think you still like connecting with people? You get a sense of how to work together outside of the process of...
It's definitely good to connect with different stations and people realizing that every Native station throughout Turtle Island is completely different. The reality of the community is completely different. So just to have a blanket policy that is supposed to cover everything is challenging.
Yeah. You mean the Canadian policy?
Yeah.
The government policy, yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying you're not governed by the policy. You just do, you have an exemption or whatever.
Yeah. Saying. But there's a station, Rapid Lake Radio, that doesn't want to even apply for an exemption. And that's something that we weren't going to do as well.
But it's still kind of submitting if you have to get an exemption. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It completely is. Yeah.
So what other, what did you like about this convergence? What did you learn?
What was interesting was Wawate and their, I guess, would you say rejection of their...
Of the two licenses they were applying
Yes. Through the CRTC. And just that, you know, they had consulted with the Chiefs of Ontario, and to have that be totally disregarded in the decision is crazy. And I'm interested in seeing what happens now. Mm-hmm. The reason why we're interested in that, too, is that one of the stations that was awarded a license also broadcasts in our community. And the issue with that is that we don't really particularly want competition. You know, we're trying to save our language. We have like a mere 5 speakers, and we have a station that comes in, English language programming, liquid natural gas, LNG advertisements and propaganda in our community with no consultation with us, no respect to the fact that we have our own station.
I remember seeing they're the, of the ones that applied and of the ones that got the license, they were the one with the lowest amount of language programming. I think 2.5 hours a week of their proposal for Vancouver. In terms of maybe opportunities for collaboration or learning from what other people are doing, what were some key things?
Bingo.
Do you do bingo?
No. Because in BC, to do radio bingo, you have to show visually the balls, the bingo balls. You can't have radio bingo in BC unless you have some way of showing visually, the which defeats the whole purpose of radio bingo. But anyway, I think there's ways around it by doing some type of live stream or whatever. I think it's just important for our community because so many of our people love the game of bingo. It's a huge way to fundraise in our community. Like one of the stations that we, I believe it's a Six Nations station, they broadcast in their language. I'm not sure if it's them or the Oneida.
Oneida, yeah.
Yeah, broadcast bingo in their language. So it's a good way to learn the language. I mean, up to...
The number is...
075 anyway.
Yeah.
And also to fundraise for our station because funding is a challenge.
I was going to ask about what's the financial situation of your station? How does that work?
We're having to apply for funding, obviously, constantly, but we don't want to be dependent on outside sources for funding. We want to find ways of being more self-sufficient or finding funds within our community in some way.
So anything else from this convergence? You participated in the one, there was regional ones beforehand. So you were in the one in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And were there different people there, I assume? Or?
I was a part of the regional conference on Homolko territory. And that was awesome because it was right within the Indigenous community. It was mostly Indigenous people within that regional conference. And to start off the conference, they conducted an exercise called the Blanket Exercise. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, it was developed by Kairos here in Ottawa. Or at least it was popularized, or I'm not sure exactly.
Okay.
And then I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, or they had a big one on Parliament Hill. About 1,000 people did it all at once. So it's really going, yeah.
Yeah, that's something we'd love to play over the radio. I mean, it obviously wouldn't be as impactful because you're not physically taking part, but it's just a pretty moving exercise that I think everyone needs to be a part of at some point in their life.
Who ran it there? Do you remember?
Yeah, Zoe Ludsky and Devin Blaney.
And they both have a radio show. I'm not sure which station it is, but...
Yeah, it's called Four Fish or something like
42
that.
42 Fish.
42 Fish.
Station?
Powell River.
Yeah, I heard the podcast online. So I'm not, and it just restarted. It was a couple years ago, and then it stopped, and now they've just brought it back.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask... Is was there anything else from that regional gathering that kind of struck you?
Just that I really hope that there's some way that all this work that all these different Native broadcasters are doing across the land, that we can come together and start working together, because it could be so much more easier for stations if we could work together and share programming and share advice and practices and things like that. And this conference was really great for that, people coming together and learning from each other. But it'd be great if they could be a more formal unit or organization, Indigenous broadcasters or whatever.
Association, network, structure, yeah. Somehow. Yeah. And do you think that has progressed, or has some steps been taken through these, the regional and the national gatherings?
Oh, for sure.
How would you assess what's happened in terms of starting, like, working on that kind of network?
Well, they're going to be writing bits about sovereignty and nationhood right into the proposed, I believe, policy for that they're going to post.
To the CRTC?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's for the review of the whole Native broadcasting whatever policy, I guess? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the organizers are putting together a... Yeah.
Yeah, and they did make specific mention that this document is going to represent everyone who was a part of this conference. It's not just going to be one author.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Nope.
No? Okay, thank you. How do you say thank you in your language?
Oh, Stutmanits. Yeah, Stutmanits.